Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Think about this. They just signed papers, John, in the United Nations about having an identification card for everybody on the globe, a biometric identification card.
Identification card for 7 billion people in
yes,
the world?
Yes. So they would have, everybody would have a unique number. And that way, you can do business and you can buy and sell, I guess, you know?
Wow.
And it's like, are we serious? A report to our president just signed it in the United Nations in September. It's amazing the things that took place in that particular month, the end of that Smita and all that. It's like, oh my goodness. And I think about, you know, Rick Wiles was talking about our enhanced driver's license now that's going to have a biometric identifier inside of our driver's license. Then if we don't have that, we'll lose access to different things.
And all, inside of our driver's license.
Not yet, obviously, but they're talking about it. As a matter of fact, so I'm, you know, you got to see this. Listen to Rick Wiles, and I'll show you what I found on the Homeland Security website. Take a look.
You were talking earlier about the Real ID Act, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right?
Right.
You were talking about that. It's a pretty strange thing.
This was a bill passed by the U.S. Congress in 2005, you know, in the aftermath of 9/11. And the idea was that every state driver's license would have to become a biometric identifier. All right, so that we're going to have our bodies biometrically scanned. That's going to be in the driver's license. Your driver's license is going to become the national ID card. Now, they didn't say it like that. But that's what it was. And there was a lot of opposition in 2005 and 2006. Even after they passed the bill, Reverend Irvin Baxter was one that really raised a lot of commotion about it. And so there was so much opposition that state legislatures started passing bills saying, we're not going to follow it. We're not going to participate. Well, I got to be honest with you, I kind of forgot about it. Yeah. It was 2005.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The other day, I just came across some news articles. It goes into effect October 1st.
Now?
Yes. And the Department of Homeland Security is telling various state governments in the United States, your driver's licenses are no longer valid for entry. This is what they're going to do. Starting October 1st. If you do not have a driver's license that is acceptable to the Department of Homeland Security, according to the Real ID Act, you will not be allowed to enter federal buildings starting October 1st. Starting in January, you cannot board an aircraft.
Oh.
Whether you all know it, you're being locked down. Now, isn't it amazing?
And they can literally put an edict out. You cannot buy food. You cannot.
No, isn't it amazing that it's coming into effect in the fall of 2015, which I believe is lined up with the trouble we're going to see in the markets? And so why are they imposing travel restrictions?
You're thinking like, no, there is no way. You hear about all these conspiracy type things and all that. So I went to the Homeland Security site, and I actually, after the break, we're going to show you more about it, but they have an actual enhanced driver's license. What does that mean? Preparing for biometric service appointments to be able to identify. And it's been going on and established in a testimony before Congress since March 19th, 2009. But this Homeland Security post on the website just came out in October.
Wow. Are we going to make this available on the Torch?
Yes, we will make this available to you on the Torch, but I'm going to share more with you. We're going to share more with you after. It's like the mark of the...
Beast?
And so we went to the Homeland Security website and to find out if that was accurate.
Yeah, what does it say? Yeah, tell us.
Come on. You know, and truly, It's an October publication that's on there that says the enhanced driver's license. What are they? And they're a driver's license with an RFID chip on it. Based with your biometric identification aspect of it, they said you can prepare how to prepare for your biometric service appointment, where they come in and you think about your retina scans, your fingerprints.
Well, you think about that RFID chip. I mean, right now there's a major transition with all the bank cards. I mean, a lot of banks are changing these out.
And so that way, you just when you walk past, they can you're sending out signals with your identification, and so they know whether you know that's you. So basically, this is my fingerprint, this is my retina scan, this is my blood type. It's just pretty wild. And then so I looked at the testimony that they have available on Homeland Security's website. We'll make this available to you on March 19th. They shared about what they were doing with biometrics and how that they developed it, and they perfected some of it over in Iraq when we were there. But once they began to share once they got the knowledge, they began to share it with China so they can use it. Their goal, I believe, by 2025, I believe it is, everybody should have one. They're accusing George Soros of stirring up all this refugee crisis because it's causing people to be worried and fearful. And fear is a very bad motivator to make changes. You should make no changes when you're afraid. But all of a sudden, people say, they need IDs. We need biometric IDs on them. Well, we would be next if that's what we want to do for people and give up that kind of freedom. And there are some articles talking about, you know, George Soros is doing this because he believes in this global economy type thing and that type of thing. But we shared it with China. As a matter of fact, now this is 2012. They've already done it for 200 million people in 2012 in India. It's called Imprinting India. Listen to Fareed now.
Imagine creating a system to track 1.2 billion people, photographing them, fingerprinting them, cataloging them, giving them all IDs. My next guest is not just imagining that system, he is tasked with making it a reality in India. Nandan Nilekani is the chairman of India's unique identification authority. His previous claim to fame was as one of the founders of Infosys, India's pioneering technology firm. Welcome.
Thank you, Fareed.
So explain, how does one even think about this? And there's so many parts to it, but let's just first start with the technical thing. So you're taking India's entire population, which I mean previously has barely been counted, let alone, and you're going to try and give every single person a biometric ID.
That's right. We have already enrolled 200 million people in the last 3 years since the project began. And we're using the biometrics to give them a unique number, which so that they don't end up having more than one number. But what's most important is that this is a digital online ID. So we're taking people, many of whom have no ID whatsoever, and taking them to the digital world. So it's like a leapfrogging of identity.
So why is this so important for India? I mean, what one hears about is that these people are supposed to get loans or grants or various things from the government, and most of it never gets to them. I remember the Prime Minister, Rajiv Gandhi, saying that of the $1 that we spend on poor people, on average, the poor person receives 10 cents.
15, I think, but whatever, 15 or 10 cents.
But the middlemen take up all the rest of the money.
Well, actually, there are two primary drivers for this. One is that we still have millions of people who don't have a formal identity or acknowledgement of their existence by the state. And unless you have a formal acknowledgement of existence, you can't get a bank account or a loan, you can't get a mobile phone, you can't get your entitlements, you can't get a job, you can't rent a house. So everything is linked to your basic identity. So this, in some sense, you can think of as a massive inclusion program to get the poor and the marginalized and identityless into the formal economy. So that's one part of it. The other part is that the Indian government spends something like $60 billion a year on entitlements and benefits to millions of people. And they need to make sure it reaches the right beneficiaries. So by having this ID system, we can make sure that people's scholarships, pensions, employment guarantee schemes all go directly to the right person, either into the bank account or whatever account. So both it makes government expenditure more efficient, effective, and equitable, and it's a massive inclusion exercise.
That's 200 million people in 2012.
Wow.
That's before we're actually carrying it to the United Nations as we're carrying it now. We're making a goal to identify everyone and give them he said this, it has to be a unique number so they don't get them confused. And it's kind of this massive, inclusive thing, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness. And the sad state is, you know, the natural human tendencies when there is no pressure is somebody says, that's for free. You get something for free. They're going to give you something. I remember when we were helping out with Hurricane Katrina, and immediately they started giving out credit cards, debit cards to people for help. And you're thinking, oh, that's so nice. You go to ATM, you can pull money out and buy food or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they were buying games,
electronic
games. They're in like this huge cafeteria. Baton Rouge, the auditorium,
gymnasium. You know,
you're in there with 1,000, 2,000 other people
on a cot,
and you use your money to get
a game.
Yeah, a game. And I remember people that, you know, are part of the faith movement, you know, you just ask, believe, whatever. They're calling me up and say, hey, I'm in this cheese lounge. Oh, you're a man of faith. And it's like, this tendency is, it's like, if somebody says, well, listen, if you want to be able to fly planes, you know, if you want to be able to buy or sell. As a matter of fact, what's the scripture say about that in
Revelation 13:16?
It has to do with the economy, money. Listen to this.
The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could not speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, the name of the beast. On their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. This is called wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number.
So you think
of
about
the
that,
beast.
Which is 666. So you're looking. It's an economic thing. Individual number, biometric. It's definitely your number because it's tied to your fingerprint, to your retina scans, to, you know, your blood type or whatever. And it's kicking in, and it requires wisdom for us to be able, and we're going to talk more about this, and you can find out more at vfntv.com on The Torch, but we're going to have to pay close attention. We do not need to be able to take this mark, but we got to figure out, what does it mean? What is it? I just want to pray with you right now. Let's just pray about this, and I encourage you, if you would, to lift us up and pray for us. We need your prayers as well. Father God, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, that you let us know in advance what's going to take place, God. I thank you, Lord, that you said if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of it, because you give it liberally. Lord, and I just ask you for wisdom for this day and age. There's so much going on. Lord, I pray for wisdom and faith and endurance, Father God, during this time. I pray, Lord God, for protection over your people, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would show and identify what we don't need to be connected with or associated with, or these kind of numbering systems. What does that mean? And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. God bless, and thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, you can find out so much more at vfntv.com. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.